Beloved, hear the promises of God. Fear not, for I am with you, and be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious hand. Beloved, I am Pastor Eric Fissler, the senior minister here, and it is with deep gratitude that I welcome you here to this sacred space, and also with deep grief. For we gather here in the protective shelter of God's healing love, and it is in this place that you are invited to pour out your grief, to release our anger, to face our emptiness. But know, beloved, that in the midst of all of the emotions that we feel in this moment, that God cares, God is with us, and God is within us. For we are gathered here as God's people, conscious of others who have died and of the frailty of our own existence here on earth, we come together to comfort and support one another in our common loss and to hear that whisper of God's hope that can drive away our despair and move us once again to offer God our praise. But in and through and beyond all of those things, friends, we are here to commend to God with deep gratitude and thanksgiving the life of our beloved Jim Beitel. As we continue to celebrate Christ's resurrection, knowing and proclaiming that whether we live or whether we die, we belong to Christ, who is Lord of both the living and the dead. Friends, we invite you to be in the presence of one another in God, and I invite you now to please join with me in the prayer as it is printed within your bulletin. Imagination envisions what you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, firstborn from the dead. Amen. Beloved, I invite you in joining me in singing our first hymn, which was one of Jim's favorites, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. It's in the hymnals, which are the blue books. It is number 536. Let us sing together.
Beloved, amidst the words that Jim himself wanted to share with you this day, we have a reading from Khalil Gibran on death. Then Almitra spoke, saying, "We would ask now of death." And he said, "You would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? The owl, whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day, cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide unto the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. In the depth of your hopes and desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate to eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king, whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling that he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet is he not more mindful of his trembling? For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? And what is it to cease breathing but to be free the breath from its restlessness tides, that it may rise up and expand and seek God unencumbered? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then you shall truly dance." And hear now these words from Scripture, beginning with a passage from Ecclesiastes. "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And from the Psalms. "One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me on a high rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I do seek." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Many of you know Jim was the minister here from 1969 to 1981. 12 years. During that time, he led this congregation as one of the fastest growing congregations in our entire denomination, the United Church of Christ. With countless help and volunteers, he helped that congregation develop an education program that was used, that adult education program that brought hundreds of people into the church during the 70s. A Sunday school curriculum that not only grew this Sunday school, but was used around the United States. He, along with Reverend Dr. Arne Schaefer, oversaw the opening of the Personal Affirmation Counseling Center. They developed many retreat and supporting opportunities for other ministers and for lay leaders and for Sunday school teachers and so many more. He developed a stewardship curriculum that was used by more than 100 churches, so we'll take an offering later. Just kidding. He oversaw the purchasing of the Dole Mansion and Lakeside Center and saw the transformation of those facilities into a ministry and life and affirming center for not just this congregation, but for hundreds of ministers and lay leaders throughout the United Church of Christ. He served on so many boards and committees, from the United Way to the International YMCA to being the Secretary of Evangelism for the Department of Homeland Ministries, which is a fancy way of saying he was the head of evangelism for our whole denomination. Long story short, when you come to be the senior minister of FCC and you hear about other senior ministers, like one who retired the year you were born or left here, and you read these things, you think, good God, did the man sleep? Then you hear he had an amazing family and 9 kids and grandkids, and the way in which people would talk about him again decades later, and you thought, who is this man? Well, maybe you wouldn't, but I would. And in my first years of ministry here, and again, there were many other ministers between us, repeatedly over and over, you hear the echo of Jim Beidle. Oh, well, Jim Beidle oversaw that. Oh, yeah, we had this thing. I think Jim worked with so-and-so to start this sort of thing. And I have to say, it's incredibly intimidating to follow somebody as extraordinary as that. And so you find other places to go and retreat. So I would go and go to clergy conferences where you'd be sitting. They'd say, oh, Crystal Lake, you know, Jim Beidle was there. And I thought, good Lord. Then Jim moved back to the area. And I really got to know Jim really well over these last bunch of years. There are ministers with extraordinary resumes and lists of their accomplishments. And there are ministers who will remind you of their extraordinary resumes and lists of accomplishments. In the years where Pastor Emily and Pastor Arne and I, we would get together with Jim on about every 4 to 6 weeks, we get together and have lunch. He never really brought up one. He never needed to remind us of, hey, remember when I did this extraordinary thing? Because that was never the purpose and the point. Jim had this beautiful, as you know, this incredible humility and passion. I was amazed when I went to go see him and we sat down. I think it was one of the first couple ones that times we sat down for lunch, and I thought, well, we're going to just sit and we'll revisit the old days and, you know, and talk about what was. And instead we sat down and he goes, let's talk about the comparisons between politics today and how they were in the 1850s. And I thought he was joking. Let me assure you, he was not. He was not, and yet we had this marvelous conversation. I thought, oh my good Lord, what is this? I mean, literally, we'd be there for hours. We would talk and talk until some of us would eventually say, oh my gosh, we have to go. And it was extraordinary. See, Jim and everything, all these accomplishments, these extraordinary things that he should be remembered for and honored, they are accomplishments. But really, when talking with other people and how so many of you know, what Jim is best known for is loving and caring for people. He was a pastor and a minister to his very core. In the United Church of Christ, when we're ordained, we are ordained as pastor and teacher. In over 20 years of ministry, I'm not sure I know someone who encompassed both of those as completely as Jim Beitel did. His goal and focus is best captured, I think, by living what Jesus said in John chapter 10. When Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." In all that Jim did, he wanted each and every person to have the most abundant life that they could, to grow personally and spiritually, not just within themselves, but within their organization, within their churches. And in doing this, because we're a messy people, amen? He was not a man of absolutes. He was not a man that believed, well, nope, everything's got to be one way, because he didn't believe in a very specific doctrine that one had to follow, whether it was a doctrine of belief or a doctrine of organization. Instead, he believed in relationships. He believed in infecting people with his amazing curiosity and his passion. He was a teacher, not only in his ministry, but he was still teaching classes at the Fountains up until November. Every time we would go, one of my favorite things to say is, "Jim, what are you teaching on?" And then he would tell me whatever he was teaching on, and it was a variety of different things, quite often somehow related to Abraham Lincoln. He had a little bit of a Lincoln obsession. Definitely loved his Lincoln. But it was extraordinary, and every time I walked away thinking, wow, I really want to go to that class. And he was 96 years old, and he was sharp as a tack, and he loved to teach. We would have these conversations, and so often you might be tempted, or I would be tempted, to want to just learn at the feet of someone as wise as he was. And the unfortunate thing was, is Jim wasn't interested in pontificating or lecturing. He was interested in having a conversation. He'd come and say, "What do you guys think happens when you die?" I said, "I don't know, Jim, what do you think?" He goes, "I know what I think. I want to know what you think." He always wanted to open people up to explore a deeper potential within themselves and within this world. He was insatiably curious, not just in the facts and the theology, but he was curious about you. Tell me what you think about this. He and I also shared a delicious irreverence of many things. If you have ever heard any of Jim's wonderful limericks, you know this. And we love W.C. Fields, and I was going to say a W.C. Fields quote, but there were none appropriate, so I didn't. But we also love Monty Python, and our postlude for today is one of his favorite songs, which is "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life." It's a funny little song and a funny little thing, but it's very difficult to live. This last year, one of my favorite meetings with Jim was coming, and the election was coming up, and I was heartbroken by how divided the country was. And so we went to lunch, and I just was distracted. And we started talking about the state of politics and things, and I said, "You know, Jim, you've seen a lot. What do you think about this?" He goes, "It's really disturbing." He goes, "It reminds me of FDR's election in 1936. Which for a moment I had to say, "Good God, that's amazing that not only you remember that, but he was 9 years old when that happened." He said, "Eric, I was a kid when that happened, but I remember the Dust Bowl. I remember how terrifying the Depression was and the conversations we would have in our family. I remember how deeply divided the politics were." Because I can remember seeing newspapers where they were holding Nazi rallies in the years to come here in the United States. And I remember us thinking and praying and wondering, "Good God, is this it?" But we got through it together. And it got better. And I saw things and we experienced things, and he said, in my lifetime, that I could never have dreamed of. So this is a scary time. but we'll get through it together. I will carry those words with me forever. His concern at that moment was for me and for Emily and Arn. And in this moment, he would say the same thing. In the midst of our grief, in the midst of us just missing a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather or a pastor or a really good friend or a teacher, we get through this together. We are resilient together. Jim spent his whole life trying to teach us and let us know how beautiful and amazing each of us is. It is my hope and my task that I hope you join me in the days to come to remember that, to be curious, to seek out beauty around us and within us, and to remember we are always stronger together. For when we are together, there is no darkness that can overcome, no grief that can overwhelm. There is always a light and hope. Amen. Beloved, I would like to, at this time, invite Brian Kordick to come forward and share some words about Jim.
Welcome, everybody. It's with heavy hearts that we are here today, of course. But let's not forget, we are here to celebrate Jim. He would want us to. He would not want us to squander the opportunity, this gift he gave us, to congregate, to be together, and celebrate his life. So while we truly miss him already, let's celebrate him as he deserves and enjoy some last moments together and take advantage of this opportunity he's bestowed upon us. So it's Reverend Dr. James Wade Vidal, deeply loved and revered, one who touched countless lives, a man of the highest character. Jim will be sorely missed by us all. While we already missed Jim dearly, and although the sting of losing him is fresh in our hearts, let's take this opportunity to reminisce. He lived in Bedford Falls, a town that could just as easily be Apple Creek, and like Jim, was a man with character and morals few can claim. Jim truly touched us all here today. He possessed an extraordinary ability to make everyone feel warm, welcomed, valued, and accepted for who they were. Jim would always find the positives in people, and I frankly would assume that's why, in some large part, he is missed by so many and universally cherished and loved by all. Jim was absolutely the best at making people feel at ease, with one minor exception. If you've ever found yourself following Jim as he drove, you know what I mean. Watching Jim drive was often unsettling, if not harrowing. To follow him driving was akin to watching a high wire artist perform on a windy day without a net. Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. He truly reminded me of the 1950s cartoon character Mr. Magoo. I don't know, I'll tell you. He would unknowingly find himself driving on train tracks. For those of you who don't know Mr. Magoo, roller coasters, driving through barns, over fire hydrants, and somehow miraculously would find himself at his destination totally unscathed. If that's not proof Jim had a guardian angel, I don't know what is. Jim loved unconditionally and without judgment. He talked about his humility. Unbelievable. I think it was his superpower, actually. He unselfishly set aside his needs and offered his love without expectation or demand. He did so with unceasing aplomb, and Jim was always inclined to forgive transgressions, intentional or not. He sought to understand, not criticize or focus on fault. He was accepting of folks for who they were, in spite of whatever faults or flaws they had. He was unbelievably encouraging and inspirational. He was truly an instrument of empowerment in our pursuit of becoming better versions of ourselves. He was there when we succeeded. But more importantly, he was there when we failed. He would, regardless of the situation, provide guidance, support, and invariably offer a positive takeaway with which to move forward. He never judged. He simply and unconditionally supported, cared for, and showered us with love throughout his years. Jim never squandered his special gifts. He was caring and giving servant to all. He shared his first and most simplistic role of serving with me as a youth when he was in his family's hometown general store. He recounted that experience as being the genesis of his understanding of people, interestingly enough. And it went on, whether he said in his military, corporate, spiritual, or personal endeavors, it really drove him to be a mentor and a teacher. He was that at heart, and his life and careers reflected so. There are countless whose lives Jim has profoundly enriched and whom he helped throughout. Jim was the proverbial stone cast into a glistening lake whose ripples extend endlessly outward. I genuinely believe Jim's influences made me a better man. However many of you who know me would question that. But I think Jim would be offended, and he'd say, "You should have seen this guy when I found him." So I am thankful, regardless, of having known him, and feel blessed and enriched for my time together with him. Whether Jim was training in the corporate world, offering spiritual strength and direction through one of his many sermons, sharing life's lessons with his loved ones, leading an international tour group, or presenting a seminar at his assisted living home, Jim enlightened and enriched those around him, contributing to everyone and their betterment straight through his final days. One such example of that on a personal level was when came in the June of 2011. Jim had spent weeks preparing a family financial seminar. He and Joe labored to create a comprehensive financial manual for each of us, which included various investment strategies, economic models, and according to Jim, the crown jewel of investing, the power of compounding. As you know, that was his love. I still have that manual to this day. And I'm confident that his seminar, coupled with his investing advice over the years, has been intrinsic in creating an enhanced peace of mind and security for many of our families. So we should thank him for that as well. Jim was a multifaceted man. He had a great sense of humor, and he loved a good time. He talked about W.C. Fields, and the like, Groucho Marx, Benny Hill, as irreverent as it gets. Right? You would be surprised, but he reveled in all that. Over the years, we were blessed and enlightened with his many wonderful historic narratives, varied poems, amusing anecdotes, etc. Jim was a true gamer and reveled in playing games of chance. He loved games and his love of games has been passed down to his children and grandchildren. That's for sure. And has become a family tradition, a tradition which certainly will continue for generations to come. During his years in Michigan, Jim also enjoyed an occasional junket to the Little River Casino to enjoy a bit of gambling. As one would expect, he usually returned a winner with his wallet a little bit thicker than when he departed. Jim's winning ways were also apparent when playing games at home as well. His winning ways have been legendary, to say the least. However, I must admit his winning record has always been a bit of a puzzlement to me. I'm ashamed to share that I've caught myself pondering, was it really the old vital luck holding true, or could it possibly have been that Jim was simply keeping score? I'll leave that up to you to judge. Jim was a consummate planner. He was analytical, perceptive, balanced, and principled. I'm sure we will all find great comfort in knowing he passed peacefully in his sleep in the wee hours of January 2nd. I firmly believe that in typical Jim passing, much to Joe's delight, he rejoined his everlasting love on her birthday. In honor of Jim and his legacy, I've got an idea. Wouldn't it be wonderful to tribute to him and his legacy to focus our actions and behaviors more positively? We could be children, and Jim could act as the elf on the shelf, if you will. Think about it. I believe he would look down upon us with great pride and satisfaction if we all subscribed to becoming better versions of ourselves. After all, that's really what he wanted from everybody. So what do you think about paying homage to Jim, not just for the next few days or weeks, but adopt a personal commitment to go forward looking for positives in people, in every person or situation we encounter? Aspire to be more understanding and tolerant, whether faced with frustration, sadness, a difficult moral choice, or how we respond to negatives of any type. I think a great approach to trying would be take a moment, simply pause and ask, what would Jim do? I think you'll find a lot of answers. After all, wouldn't love, tolerance, fairness, and being kind be the type of living he'd want us to embrace most of all? While we ponder that, I want to share this poem with you that was shared with me. It's called Success. It's by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I think it really is appropriate. It goes like this. Successful is the person who has lived well, has laughed often and much, has won the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, who earned the appreciation of honest critics and endured the betrayal of false friends, who held high his appreciation of the earth's beauty, and who left the world a bit better than they found, whether by way of a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. One who always looked for the best in others, gave the best of themselves, and know that even one person that breathed better and easier is because you had lived is the true measure of success. And I think that's Jim in spades. Godspeed, Jim Bidle. May you and Joe remain together, immersed in an eternity of love forever. In closing, I just want to take a minute. I want to acknowledge Betsy. I want to express our thanks and gratitude to her for all she contributed to Jim's final years. Love, advocacy, friendship, care, and personal sacrifice are just some of the words that come to mind when I think of all she's done for him since his return here at Crystal Lake. Jim truly lived out his last years very well, and in no small part due to her unrelenting kindness and care of him. She gifted Jim peace of mind, dignity, comfort, companionship, and abundant love, all for which we are forever grateful. Betsy, our sincerest and most heartfelt thanks to you for taking such good care of our beloved Jim. Thank you.
Friends, it is at this time, too, that we know that there are many other stories that people have about Reverend Beidel. And I just got back from a gathering of ministers in Florida, a gathering that he led for many years, a gathering he actually started like when it was just a Midwest one. And we would meet, they would meet at Lakeside Center. And it was amazing so many years how many stories there were from so many ministers around there, and all positive. And ministers love gossip. I'm going to be real clear. We love to get together and gossip. And it was amazing. And in all my years of ministry, I've never heard such incredible reverence and appreciation. So I'd ask if you have a comment, we'll just take a couple minutes to, if you have a short story or a comment that you would like to make at this time, invite you to raise your hand and I can bring the microphone to you. Yeah.
Our grandfather has kept a garden of the heart. He planted all the good things that gave our lives their start. He turned us to the sunshine and encouraged us to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. And then the winds and rain came. He protected us enough, but not too much, because he knew we would stand up strong and tough. His constant good example always taught us right from wrong. Markers for our pathway that will last a lifetime long. We are our grandfather's garden, are his legacy. Thank you, Grandfather, for we all love you.
I'm Bob Roslick. I've been a member of the church for a long, long time, and I was lucky enough to go on a couple of Canadian fishing trips with Jim. And so one, we did a lot of trolling, you know, back trolling up in Loch Dimmalock. And so one day we're out there, and Jim had caught a fish, and he's in the process of trying to get it on the stringer, that where we would keep the bigger fish that we had caught, and he reached into his tackle box, and he pulled out this pair of pliers that looked like an ancient pair of pliers. And I said, boy, those look really old. He said, these have been in the family for a long, long time. I said, my father gave these to me, and I don't know if his father gave them to him. So he's trying to get the fish on the stringer, and he's reaching over the side with the fish and the pliers and the stringer, and the pliers slip out of his hands, gone forever. I don't remember what he said exactly. I don't think he swore, but he just had a look on his face like, well, that's the end of an era. Anyway, he took it well.
Everybody was mentioning Jim's curiosity, and I've had a few changes in my life, and I just wanted to say that he never did what was, I guess, expected of anybody else, and he just wanted to, I guess, get an explanation of what I was thinking or what I was going through, and I think that he passed that on to the rest of his family and other people he knew, that it's better to ask questions and not be afraid of what you don't understand, because, you know, with knowledge you have a name for everything that's going on or for anything you don't know.
Any other comments? Friends, there'll be time in the reception and definitely in the days to come. We believe that death is not the end, and we know that we live on in the great spirit, but we also live on in the memories and the stories and the spirit within each of us. So I hope that you will continue to tell stories and share laughter and joy and be inspired. I'd like to end with this time of sharing with a letter from Reverend Dr. Arne Schaper. He and Jim were colleagues for many years, and due to health reasons, couldn't be here, but he sent this letter he asked to be read in his stead. To the families and friends of Reverend Jim, I am so deeply disappointed I cannot be here in person, but certain medical circumstances do not allow that. But I prepared this written statement that Pastor Eric will share. Reverend Jim, or as he often said, just call me Jim, Jim Beidle, eternal optimist, leader, believer in human potential, visionary, dreamer, pastor, husband, father, colleague, and friend to many. In no way in this brief period could we list the ways his life made a difference to so many in so many different ways. Personally, in the 12 years we worked together here at FCC, there were many times when he believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. His professional support and encouragement were unfailing. One of his missions in life, I believe, was to get me to preach without a manuscript. So much so that one Sunday, when I was preaching and he was assisting, we came here to the chancel and I discovered my manuscript was missing. I turned to him in near panic and said, "What am I to do?" He whispered back and said, "You'll do just fine." And then he handed me my crutch. Jim loved FCC. He loved Crystal Lake. So fortunate we were to have him return here and spend the last portion of his life here. But it was reciprocal. More than once he said to me, "You know, Arne, the best gift you have given me is the monthly visit when you and Eric and Emily come out and have lunch with me." So dear friend, colleague, and sojourner in the faith, may your new adventure in the realm of the great beyond bring the fullest of joy and peace to your soul. Now will be a time for you to enjoy your fullest potential. My deepest love and greatest blessing to you, Arne. Beloved, I invite you now to join your voices together in our next hymn. It's number 470. It'll be on the screen. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Beloved, would you please join me now in the affirmation of faith that is printed in your bulletin? We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. O loving God, this day we turn to you in our great need, asking for light in our darkness, knowing that we are in your compassionate and loving care. We praise you for your steadfast love for Jim Vital all the days of his earthly life, and for the assurance that even through death your love holds him close, and that he has entered the home where all your people gather in peace. Thank you for all the gracious memories we have of Jim, pastor, husband, father, grandfather, and friend. Thank you for the love he freely gave and the love he modestly received. Thank you for all he was to those who loved him. Reveal your eternal presence to Jim's family and friends now. Comfort and guide us. Help us to know and feel that deeper than the pain and mystery of death are your everlasting arms of tender love and mercy. Eternal God, remind us that just as Jim is with you and you are always with us, that he is and will be with us now and always. O God, thank you for a love which will not let us go and for walking with us through this valley of the shadow of death. Thank you for your triumphant love, which is our hope and comfort, our very assurance that life is ever Lord over death and that love can never lose its own. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray this. And now we pray together as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, let's continue to join our voices together in another hymn, number 483 in your hymnals, another of Jim's favorites. Onward, Christian soldiers.
This is a poem that I want you to really take in. And I think this so exemplifies my dad's, a story he used to tell us that was about paying it forward, about a birthday party, and we can go into that later on. But this is about taking what you're given and paying it forward. Not placing our trust in adoration of a certain person, but bringing that love in and sending it forward. Take the love you have for me and radiate it outwards, allowing it to touch and impact others. Take the memory you have of me and use it as a source of inspiration to live fully, meaningfully, and intentionally. Take the image you have of me in your mind and allow it to fuel you to take action, seize this day, and be reminded of what's most important in life. Know that I can never truly leave you and will always remain beside you, watching over you in spirit, and that the love I have for you lives on. Through the relationships that you form, the kindness and compassion you share, and the connections and friendships you cultivate into the future. And until one day when we are reunited, I will remain with you through the storms and chaos of life. I'm always beside you, walking with you, laughing with you, crying with you and smiling with you, and always know I am proud of you for being you. Amen. And now we come to the time when we lift Jim up into the next adventure, as he called it. Holy God, by your creative power, you gave us this gift of life. And in your redeeming love, you have given us new life in Christ. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, giver of life and conqueror of death, with faith in your great mercy and wisdom, we commend James Bidle to your eternal care. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the company of the saints in light. And in the words of our Cheyenne brothers and sisters, go into the light, Jim, and do not look back. We will care for everything here.